Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Gets kept this time. And it's intercepted. Picked off by Carrington Valentine. Room to run. Valentine cuts back. He lost the ball. Green Bay saves it somehow. It was Brooks that got on it. What a crazy play. Darnold got hammered on that throw.
Was not many times that you could say Darnold got hammered on that throw. One of the times they got to him finally, and good things happened.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the Packers defense, a Carrington Valentine interception. Highlight courtesy of Foxy Sparky Pfeiffer in for Andy Herman today. The Pack-A-Day radio show broadcasting live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios. Powered by the Potawatomi Sports Book. Joining us now, one of my favorite guests. He is former Packers offensive lineman. Follow him on Twitter at MikeWall68. Mike Wall joins us. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Sparky, what's good, man?
Nothing's good. I was mad last night on the postgame show. I figured a good night's sleep, Mike, might help me, and I would be good, and I'm still mad as I was last night when I went to bed. So many different things. First off, let's start here. I think what we learned last night, if we weren't aware of it before, is there certainly is a gap between, say, the Packers, the Vikings, and the Lions in this division as far as how good one team is versus how good the other two teams are.
Yeah, no doubt. In order to kind of close that gap yesterday, the Packers had to be ready for the moment and have to go in and take a win in a really tough place to play. Minnesota's they've got a fantastic stadium, fantastic fans, and you got to go in there and take what's yours. And certainly, it looked like for the majority of the game, you know, these, I think the score is not indicative of how that game felt when you were watching it. And the Packers just did a, for whatever reason, the Packers are just having a really hard time against elite level teams feeling up to the task. And it's something they're going to have to figure out real quick here in the next couple of weeks.
Last week, this offense had 9 different players carry the football. The 9 different players ran a rush of some sort, tallied in the box score. For whatever the reason last night, they didn't hand off the ball once to a wide receiver that entire football game. It was, the 2 running backs are going to carry the ball. That's going to be the extent of it. I don't understand. Why would you go away from that all of a sudden when it's worked for you all year?
Sometimes I don't know the answer to that question, but I'll say this, Sparky. There's a couple things that are going on when you play Minnesota. The first one, and this really is, I've watched every one of their games, and the difference between playing in Minnesota versus playing Minnesota at home is remarkably different because of the crowd noise and the effect it has on communication. You got to remember that Josh Myers looks between his legs to receive, you know, figure out when the snaps come in from Jordan Love.
Right.
And that is a fundamental difficulty when you're playing it with that crowd noise, that level of communication, all the things. And then the second part of that is obviously all the things that they do on defense. And so Matt LaFleur and that coaching staff have to make this calculation of, do we want to make this a little bit more vanilla so we can kind of understand what's coming at us and then try to be effective in that just on execution? Or do we want to continue with what's worked literally the entire year, window dress a lot of this stuff up, manufacture yards by scheme and not by our ability to execute? Obviously, a lot of us are going to look at that game yesterday and say, you made the wrong decision.
Yes.
Because, you know, a lot of the, especially in the run game, a lot of the stuff they do is manufactured yards by design. It's not really the fact that their offensive line is winning. A lot of it's obviously that Josh Jacobs is making guys miss. But they win a lot, especially in the first and second quarter, because they're putting together schemes that, or they're window dressing schemes that the other team hasn't seen. You didn't get that a lot yesterday. It was very, for the Green Bay Packers team that has been so inventive and innovative this year, it was very vanilla.
Very vanilla. Exactly right. And the other part about this is, again, I'm just a fan watching it on my TV set. You're the former pro. You tell me. It felt like the Vikings had push on that Packers offensive line most of the game.
Yeah. When you go to Minnesota, if it's going to be the kind of game where you have to drop back, which when you get down, that's inevitably what's going to happen, that's exactly what the Minnesota Vikings, that's the situation they want to get you into. They don't have... I think if you're playing on a neutral surface, you're not going to say to a man that they have great pass rushers, but they got a lot of guys that can push the pocket, and they put you in difficult positions from a leverage and number standpoint. Listen, this is one of those games that was won and lost at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. You get pushed around on the offensive side of the ball. Jordan Love gets uncomfortable, and you know we know he's still a young quarterback as well as he's played. You know, you have those days like yesterday kind of remind you, like, yeah, we have a little ways to go from a development standpoint and being able to be ready in that moment and step into the task. But then you look on the defense too, Sparky. I mean, listen, there's some – Edgar Cooper played one of the best games I've seen in a long time yesterday, and it's not even going to get talked about because you had such a lack of pass rush for the entirety of the game on a guy that is going to run under center play action pass for, like, the majority of his snaps. It was just, you can't win football games if you're not gonna protect or pressure on either side of the line of scrimmage.
All right, so let's just get to the point. Did they get outcoached?
I don't ever listen. I think what happens in these games is if you get out executed, we point out you're getting out coached. I've been in that environment in Minnesota. It's a very, very difficult place to play, and because of that, more often than not, you try to simplify things. It really does play into the advantage of the Minnesota Vikings defense in particular. And, of course, with Flores there and all the things that he's able to do with that personnel group, I think that, you know, you would love to go in and – let's put it this way. If they score in 2 of the first 3 drives, we're all saying this is really smart. If Josh Jacobs doesn't fumble in the first quarter, we all – you know, maybe this works out differently. There's a million things that can happen. But when you get punched in the mouth in an environment like that, and you have this history of not being able to win against good football teams, teams with a record that's better than yours, all of that stuff starts creeping in. And so if you're talking about, do we get out-coached from an X's and O's team? I don't know if that's true. did we get out executed? Did our guys step up to the task and win their 1v1 matchups and were they ready for the moment? I think that's the question you got to ask. And then so you look at that from a coaching perspective. What's the number one job of the coaching staff? It's to get the players mentally ready to play football and have the confidence to go in to win. And maybe that's what we need to explore a little bit more if we're talking about inside the locker room, inside the meeting rooms of the Green Bay Packers before they enter into this playoff run.
Talk with Mike Wall, former Packers offensive lineman. Follow him on Twitter at MikeWall68. Check out his podcast, Block Party. It's really, really good, as always. And again, follow him on Twitter during the games. He's all over it throughout the broadcast, too, as far as analyzing the game. Okay, so my thoughts are, and we go into defense, and I agree, Adrian Cooper's not going to get talked about nearly enough, and that's fine. But when you talk about who they were missing, no Quay Walker, no Evan Williams, no Jaire Alexander in this game, is that enough to say, well, if they would have been healthy, Sparky, it would have been fine. This defense would have been much better than it was. Is it that easy of an out? Because I don't feel like it is.
No, I don't think any three of those, like Jaire Alexander is one of the better corners in the league, and I really like Evan Williams. I don't know if Quay is a starter for me on this team with Wilson and Cooper. I know he will be a starter, but I don't know if he is. You know, in my mind, you can't win a football game against Sam Darnold, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Hawkins. You can't win a football game if you can't get a pass rush. And if Sam Darnold, Sam Darnold got sacked once. I think he got pressured a couple times at the end of the game, and you could see the difference in the throws. But he's throwing the ball for 3, 4, 5 seconds in the pocket. And throwing darts around the board because they have one of the better receiving rooms in the National Football League, and I don't care who you put on in the secondary, if you have to cover for 4 seconds, you're not going to cover them. And so you have to be able to you don't want to get into semantics here, but it just goes into what is your pass rush plan for Sam Darnold? Are you trying to make him kind of evade rushes and run away from the line of scrimmage? Are you going to let him step up? I mean, you watch tape on this guy. And when he steps up and is able to run into throws, he throws darts. And when he runs away, he has to throw the ball out of bounds. And for whatever reason, you don't create a pass rush plan or you don't have a pass rush winning 1v1 that forces this guy to run with his chest to the sideline. And so you get torn up in the secondary and everybody goes, what's wrong with him? Or there's a lot of injuries. Like that's it. You have to rush the passer. This is a symbiotic relationship between the first level and the third level here.
I think when Zane Anderson went out on that special teams play where he got concussed and was walking off, I thought they made the wrong decision. And I said last week that I thought the decision was Keyshawn Nixon at safety over Javon Bullard. Because earlier in the year when Bullard was at nickel, I thought he was much better than when he had to get moved to safety when Evan Williams got hurt and he got exposed a little bit. I rather would have went with Bullard at the nickel, and I know I'm playing with fire with Stokes outside, but that's what I'm going to do. And then let Keyshawn Nixon, who's played safety more times than Bullard has in the NFL, go back there and be the safety next to McKinney. They chose to go with Bullard, and I think it hurt him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, again, you can speculate on that, and certainly I think when you watch Bullard, especially that game that he had to replace Williams a couple weeks ago, it didn't seem like he was up to the task in that game. I think he had in weeks prior. But Bullard had 11 tackles yesterday. I can't stress how many times have we seen Justin Jefferson tear up this defense, right? He's a really, really talented player.
Yep.
And when you give a quarterback who can throw the football as well, Sam Darnold can throw the football, when you give him an opportunity to sit in the pocket after doing under-center play-action pass, and they're running these deep routes that are slow developing, and they have deep crossers and deep outs and all this seam routes, you cannot expect the secondary to hold up in 1v1 or zone coverage for 4 seconds. That is unrealistic. You have to create some sort of pass rush that gets them off their timing. And now you have a real chance of finding success, regardless of where you put the chess pieces in the back.
So, from your perspective, should they have done more as far as blitzing goes? I mean, I saw a delayed safety blitz at one point with Anderson. I saw a cornerback blitz from Keyshawn Nixon at one point. Should they have done more once they figured out their front four couldn't do it?
Yeah, well, I mean, the problem is, Sparky, if you've been watching the entire year, when has their front four really created one-on-one pass rushes? In the last couple of weeks, I think you found success, but you're playing some really bad football teams
right
up front. And that sometimes gives us a false sense of confidence, particularly in the locker room. Like, you beat anybody in the NFL, you got to feel good about yourself. But the Minnesota Vikings offensive line had a clinic day. I mean, I can throw on that tape from yesterday. It's the clinic tape for like 90% of the tape on the 1v1 combo blocks, all that versus the Green Bay Packers pass rush. And that's something that you really, unfortunately, as you go into these playoffs, you're going, all right, this is a real head scratcher. You go into Philadelphia, you go to Detroit, you go to Minnesota. Like, how are we beating teams when our defensive ends and defensive tackles don't win matchups? That's a real problem.
I have one last thing for you, and that is to kick a field goal or not to kick a field goal. In the beginning of that game, they kicked three. They take the three on the road. I was very happy. Then they had the opportunity to do it again. I thought for sure, considering they did it the first time, they would do it the second. They didn't. They end up turning over the ball, and mainly because I think Jaden Reed probably had a ball that was more difficult to catch, but he probably could have caught it. And they turn over the ball there. LaFleur pretty much saying that it's kind of gut feel as far as when he's going to kick a field goal, when he's not going to kick a field goal. From a player perspective, when a coach decides to kick it versus not kick it, how does that affect the confidence one way or the other with that offense?
Well, I you know, Sparky, you're always pissed if they kick it. If it's fourth and two on the five or whatever, you know, fourth and three on the seven, you just want to go for you always want to get the maximum amount of points down there, and you always have the confidence to feel like you have a fourth down play that's going to work. I'm sure the Packers are going into a lot of these games now with all the analytics and all the game planning that they have a fourth down package they feel real comfortable with. You know, particularly around from the 40-yard line, you know, I guess all the way down to the goal line now. So I think from a player's perspective, it's always you do whatever the coach says. You just, you know, you're a little bit of a servant at that point. But we want to maximize the points. You know how difficult it is to score in Minnesota. You know, like how many times you're going to get down to the seven, I think, is the hard point. So from a fan perspective, totally get it. Want to put points on the board. Want to create momentum, all that, no doubt. But the flip side of that is they go there and they get the seven. Like, all of these little things can create a little bit more confidence in this team. And unfortunately, a lot of them went the wrong way yesterday.
He is Mike Wall, a former Packers offensive lineman. Follow him on Twitter at MikeWall68. Check out his podcast, On My Block, and Block Party. Block Party's been rolling lately. Check out his website, process2perform.com. Tell everybody about that, Mike.
Yeah, we've just been having a lot of fun doing all these podcasts, watching the Packers day by day, break down a lot of film for fans out there just to get a better perspective, or at least the player's perspective, on what's going on the field. And then, you know, my process to perform, the website and just the business is really just helping athletes try to find their ceiling through mindset development, technical mastery, and ownership decisions. So, go check that out. It's a lot of fun.
Just that. I can't even remember everything you just said, and you said, blah, 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 blah. You got it all out. I mean, that's a lot that you're doing to help these athletes reach their ceiling, Mike. Don't overblow it here and just kind of push it aside. You do a lot of work there.
Yeah, I spend a lot. Well, listen, I spend a lot of time. When you grow up in this life, Sparky, you start realizing, especially as you get older, you realize the things that matter the most are how you prepare and the confidence that you develop in these athletes. And you just try to find the levers that you can push and pull to help athletes develop the highest level of confidence possible so they can perform at their best. And I suppose that goes for everybody who's trying to do anything competitive in this world. But I think I have a unique perspective and certainly spent a lot of time trying to hone that in order to help these young athletes all the way up to, you know, I still work with NFL guys now. It's actually the majority of my business, but it's a lot of fun. I tell you what, I couldn't ask for a better job, quite frankly, to stick around sports and keep helping these athletes try to reach their ceiling.
Process2perform.com. Check out, again, On My Block and the Block Party podcast. He is Mike Wall. Follow him on Twitter at MikeWall68. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
You got it, Steve. Have a good one, man.
Take care. Here he is, Mike Wall, joining us here on The Fan. All right, Mason Crosby Show coming up here in about 20 minutes. We'll get Mason's thoughts on this game. He's going to be more calm than I am, right? Because, I mean, he's on vacation a little bit. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I think I might still be ornery about how my Buffs got walloped by BYU.
Oh,
I think,
fire him up.
I think I might be a little mad about that still, that my Packers get beat. I don't know.
Stressful holiday times. Yeah, get him fired up.
I might be a little ornery if I was him, but I don't know, man. He seems a lot more chill than I am just in everyday life scenarios. He seems a lot more laid back than me, right?
That's about 95% of the population.
That's not true. My kid is not as laid back as I am. No, he's even more on edge than I am. It is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Coming up next, I want to talk about these injuries and really how much of a difference you think it would have made. Plus, you still have your time to vent. We're here all day on the Fan, right? All day. This show, Mason Crosby Show, Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's this afternoon. Your time to vent all day long. If you can't call now, but you can call later, call in another time. We're here to help all of us get through this horrible loss yesterday to the Minnesota Vikings. Nicolay Law, Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250.